I want to thank our chair of deacons, Deacon Roberson, and our deacons for carrying on while I was away, and our chair of trustees, Trustee Schoaf, and trustees for carrying on. And carpet in the sanctuary is cleaned. Amen. And work on the floors in the education building has begun. Thank you, trustees, for that. And I want to thank Reverend Spears for his leadership and for serving you while I was away. And I also asked him, because I was just leaving to go out of town, and wasn't able to be here for the service for Brother Jones, your brother, Sister Dr. Waters, as she and I talked and prayed, and I'm glad that he was able to carry on that service for me. I appreciate that. Today, preaching for the first time in cowboy boots. I got my first pair on, and they're surprisingly comfortable. And preaching in jeans, that's another first. And so I'm a little rusty. So I need your prayers. I want to read a passage from Psalm number 139, 1 through 12, and 23 through 24. Psalm number 139, 1 through 12, 23 through 24, from the New International Version. And the text says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And skipping to 23 and 24. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The word of our God. Thank you, ushers. A private conversation. One wonders what prompted the writer of this psalm to write such interesting words. Psalm 139 ponders the deep questions of life and existence. It speaks about divine knowledge and the reality of being fully known by God. Why is the writer so concerned about the scope of God's knowledge and presence? Some suggest that the writer has been accused of idolatry and he's trying to vindicate himself. Some suggest that the writer has turned away from God. They believe that the writer comes face to face with his sin and has to confess that God knows him completely. You see, you can pretend all day long, but when you come face to face with your sin, you can't escape that. When you realize that God sees everything and God knows everything, you have a different perspective about your mistakes and your shortcomings. You realize that you cannot ultimately get away with the things that displease God. You might get by, especially with us, but you cannot ultimately get away with the things that displease God. I like this psalm, Psalm 139, because it teaches us about divine insight, what God sees. It teaches us about divine oversight, that God is over and aware of everything, that God superintends everything. The psalmist teaches us about the scope of God's transcendence. He even says, as we read, where shall I go from your spirit? He thinks of fleeing from the presence of God because God knows him so well. And I understand that because it's both awe-inspiring and all full to know that God knows us so well and that God sees everything. This psalm reminds me of my personal journey with God and with faith. You see, I have had an ongoing conversation in my mind and in my heart. I could also say in my spirit. And this ongoing conversation is the longest and most continuous conversation in my life. I became aware of this internal conversation before I started elementary school, before I was in kindergarten. And for the most part, this ongoing internal conversation has been a private conversation, a conversation with myself. You know about that, don't you? And in this ongoing conversation that I have been having for years with Ricky, I share things that no one knows. I listen to my thoughts. I listen to my feelings, and I face my real opinions. In this conversation, I also wrestle with my fears. And this conversation takes place all the time. It takes place in the morning, it takes place in the afternoon, it takes place at night, it even takes place when I am asleep. And the special thing about this ongoing internal conversation is that it changes based upon different things. It's transformed by many things. It changes with time. So that the conversation I had when I was 5 years old is different than the conversation I now have at 64 years of age. It changes with education, because my education has expanded my thinking and shifted the conversation. It changes with experiences, both good and bad experiences. Inside, I'm talking about the good things. And inside, I'm also talking about the bad things. As I grow older, the focus of this internal conversation shifts. My responsibilities impact what I say inside. I am a husband. I am a father. I am a pastor. I am a brother. I am a man. And all of those forces shape and impact that internal conversation. And it's being continually transformed. Another thing about this ongoing conversation is I know the real Ricky. I know the truth. I know the Ricky. Beneath the surface, without the robe on, without the jacket on, I know the real Ricky. And many people know parts of me. Many people know about me, but no one knows me completely. And I have the capacity to reveal what I choose to reveal, and to conceal what I choose to conceal. I can show expressions on my face that match what I'm thinking and feeling on the inside. And I can show expressions on my face that mask what I'm thinking and feeling on the inside. The only time people can access this ongoing conversation is when I truly let them in. This ongoing conversation covers the past, it covers the present, it covers the future. And no matter what happens to me in the present, the past always shapes the present and the future. Things that I forgot about can rise to the surface without warning and take center stage of a conversation. A smell, a song can ignite something from the past and bring it right back to the conversation. We all have an ongoing conversation, and that conversation shapes who we are and shapes how we live. And many of us work to keep the conversation private. We don't want folks to know the full conversation. We strive really hard to keep most things private and to ourselves. And so we hide behind stuff so that folk won't discern what's going on beneath the surface. We hide under clothing. And the clothing says one thing, but the beneath the surface, there's something else. We hide under hairstyles. I remember a woman who had such big hair, and it covered almost her entire face, that you couldn't really see her face. You had to move the hair to see her eyes. The hair was covering something. We hide under tattoos, come out with clear skin, and then just decorate it with tattoos That speaks to something beneath the surface. We hide through extreme behavior. Sometimes we behave in ways to throw people off so that they don't get at the internal conversation. We do these things to keep the inner conversation private. Some people even create a whole persona, a whole different lifestyle, a fake lifestyle, just to throw you off and to get you away from the real self. Some people use drugs and alcohol to mask the pain, the hurt, and the emotions of the inner conversation. This isn't on my paper. People struggling with addiction need help and need support and need prayer. And I know it's difficult if you're in a situation with somebody who is addicted. It's difficult, but there's stuff going on beneath the surface, beyond the alcohol, beyond the drugs. That's a part of that internal conversation. And I understand that you want to work to keep it private. I understand that because you cannot entrust your inner conversation to the wrong person. Even in the church, all these smiling people just want to know your business. I'm not talking about y'all in here. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. And let me say this. If there's something you don't want folks to know, don't share it. Keep your mouth closed. You say, well, I'm going to tell my friend. Your friend's got a friend. Help me, somebody. If you don't want folk to know, don't text it. Don't email it. Don't tweet it. Don't share anything you don't want shared. You even got to be careful when you're talking to folks on the telephone, because folk will record your conversation and they will press a button and add another person to the conversation without your awareness to let them hear what you're saying and share it. If you don't want it out there, keep it to the inner conversation. We do so many things to keep the inner conversation private. I'm reminded of that poem by Paul Laurence Dunbar entitled, We Wear the Mask. He says, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile, with torn and bleeding hearts we smile and mouth with myriad subtleties. Why should the world be overwise in counting all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We smile, but O great Christ, our cries to thee from tortured souls arise. We sing, but O the clay is vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise. We wear the mask. So I've had this ongoing conversation. And like many of you, I work really hard to keep that conversation private. But I had an amazing discovery. Listen to the text. It says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. I told you that this psalm reminds me of my personal journey with God and faith. And the reason is found in those verses I read. You see, for a long time, I thought that my ongoing conversation was a private conversation. That it was just me, myself, and I. And I thought that my ability to keep others out of my conversation meant that it was completely closed until I chose to open it. But the psalmist helps me to realize that there has always been another party to my inner conversation. The psalmist helps me to understand that while my inner conversation is private to the world, it is always public to God. That God has been a part of my conversation my entire life. Isn't that amazing? What is powerful is, even without an invitation, God has heard the entire conversation. We tell people you got to invite God in as if God cannot get in without our permission. The psalmist teaches that God has heard the entire conversation. God has demonstrated what one scholar calls penetrating awareness of our lives. And to think, Ebenezer, that I've been carrying on many discussions without even thinking about God's presence. I thought that to get God's input, that I needed to have a special prayer time. That if I wanted God to speak, if I wanted God to participate, I needed to go into my secret closet, get on my knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. But divine input is always available and always present. Listen to this. We might have to wait for direction from God, but we never have to wait for the presence of God. We never have to wait for God to show up, because God never shows up. God is presence itself. God is always there. We don't have to send God anywhere. I don't care where your loved one lives. I don't care what hospital they're in. You don't have to send God there. You don't even have to tell God about it. God is already there. God is in Alabama. God is in Mississippi. God is in Illinois. God is in Texas. God is everywhere at the same time. And that's why the writer says, where can I go from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. God is always there. God was a part of the conversation all along. Another amazing discovery is that God knows us fully. God knows us completely. God knows the whole story. Did you hear me? God knows us fully, every hair on our heads, every thought in our minds, everything about our bodies. God knows us fully and completely, and he knows the whole story. And that's why, beloved, God doesn't judge us like we judge each other, because we judge each other having access only to part of the story. But God doesn't see just part of the story. God sees the whole story. You see somebody standing at the bus stop with a cup in their hand asking for a handout. And that's all you see is that person on that day, at that moment with that outfit on. But God sees the whole story. What happened to that person that brought the person to the corner? God sees the whole journey. Isn't that incredible? We are fully known by God. Nothing about us is a surprise to God. You jump up and say, I can't believe he did that. God doesn't say that. God just says, there he goes again. He knows us. Nothing is a surprise. God, the psalmist says, even our thoughts, before they are formed, he says, you understand my thought afar off. So down the road while the thought is walking up to my brain, God knows it and God hears it. And he says, even in the darkness, he knows where we are and what we're doing, because God sees the darkness as clear as the day. We think, I'm going to go out creeping tonight. And I'm going to go somewhere where nobody knows my name. This is, my favorite, reminds me of this preacher who liked to drink, but he didn't want his church members to know he liked to drink. And so he would go all the way to the other side of town to buy his liquor. And, you know, think he would get away. One day he went to the liquor store and he got his liquor, put it on the counter, and then reached into his pocket to get his wallet out and realized he had forgotten his wallet. He said to the man behind the counter, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot my wallet. Let me go back. The man said, oh, no, Reverend, don't worry about that. I got you. We think that the darkness will cover us, but the psalmist said the darkness does not cover us, because he sees as clear as the day. So whether we text, email, tweet, use Snapchat, or whisper, God knows all about it. God is part of the conversation. There is no private conversation with God. God is better than Alexa. Alexa is rudimentary technology. Alexa has to be in the room, has to be connected to the Wi-Fi. But the universe, the cosmos, is wired to the sovereignty of God. And so God doesn't even have to be in the room. God doesn't even have to be in close proximity. God can be anywhere and hear the entire conversation. You don't have to call God and say, come over here. God says, that's all right. You're too late, because I was there before you got there. God hears the entire conversation. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell there. And I made an amazing discovery as I wrap this up. God is aware of my ongoing conversation and has been part of it all along. And I said to you that impacted my life. It changed my prayer life. I no longer felt that I had to rush to God with a list of petitions, because I knew God already knew, that God already understood. That changed my faith, because I realized, because he knows my shortcomings, he knows when I'm going to mess up, and he knows how I'm going to mess up. He knows it already. Change my life. He knows the whole story. He knows the hurt and where the hurt came from. He knows the abuse and who did the abuse. He knows the pain and what is the source of that pain. He knows it. He knows what I've been carrying my entire life. He knows the stumbling blocks. He knows the obstacles. He knows the burdens. He knows the pressure. He knows the stress. Sometimes we come to church and we feel like nobody knows and nobody cares. And the good news is God knows. And he knows you personally. And even if the sermon doesn't bowl down your alley, God knows where you are. And he knows just what you need. So what are we to do about it? What are we to do about it? The text says, so search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You make the discovery about the inside of God. When you make the discovery about the oversight of God, God is super aware of everything. The thing left for you to do is to submit your life to God's sovereignty. That's all we're called to do. So ultimately, submit ourselves to God. Because if God is part of the conversation, then our task is to submit to divine foresight and let God lead us. The writer returns at the end of the psalm to what he brings up at the beginning. He says, search me. And he says, test me. And why does he ask God to search him? After all he said that God knows already. He asks God to search him because he really means, keep on searching me. Keep on testing me. I want God to continually search me and test me and check me out and see if there's anything wrong on the inside. And the reason he wants God to continually do it is only God knows him completely. And only God has the answer for what he's going through. So he's saying, I'm submitting my life to your sovereignty. I'm going to let you lead me. You know me. You know my thoughts. You know my true story. I can hide from everyone else, but I cannot hide from you. So keep searching me. As the old folks say, you know, Lord, whether I'm right. You know, Lord, whether I'm wrong. You know, Lord, whether I'm right or wrong. So in your private conversation today, ask God to lead you and ask God to guide your life. In your private conversation, say to God, I know I can't escape you, so I submit myself and my life completely to you. It's my message today. And I want you to know he's a good leader. He's a mighty good leader. And if you let Jesus lead you, you'll achieve whatever God has for you and for your life. Invitation. Christian discipleship is extended. If you're watching us and you've been thinking about your ongoing conversation, let me remind you, it's not private. God is right there and God is with you. And God can lead you. As our deacons, ministers, greeters come, will you stand with me? Extend the invitation to Christ. And online you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org. Let Jesus lead you.
He led my mother.
He led my mother.